Good morning and welcome. We're so happy that you have come to worship our awesome God with us this morning. And if this is your first time with us, I want to invite you to introduce yourselves to us towards the end of our worship service. Or maybe you have already been here for a few times, but you have yet to introduce yourself to us. I also want to invite you, would you do so today? And I know that we have a lot of college students who came back for the summer. So I want to welcome you guys back. Looking forward to having a great summer with you guys. We are having a college ministry during our summer. So inside of your bulletin, you should have a blue insert. So our college summer program is all printed there, right? So I want you to take a look at it and please come and join us. We're going to have a lot of great time together. So before we go to the Word of God, I have a few more announcements to make. First of all, we have been encouraging all of you to read the Word of God, the Bible, with us for a number of years. And so on June 5th, we're going to take the opportunity to acknowledge those of you who have been doing it this year. And so if you have been doing it, I want to invite you to let me or our Christian education deacon, Kathy, know. Let us know which Bible reading plan that you have been using. We have four different plans on our church website. You may be doing something on your own, and that is completely fine. And so please let us know. And I know that none of you are doing this to get recognized. But when you come and let us know, this will help us to know how many people are actually doing it and how are we doing in this effort in encouraging you. And it would also help us to know which plan actually works for us. Okay? And so your response will really help us to evaluate and be better at doing this. And so that is why I really want to encourage you to come and let us know. You can turn in your Bible reading plan either to me or to Kathy. Either way, doesn't matter. All right. And so I hope that you will let us know. And I think that for the rest of the people in the church, sometimes, you know, because we're so shy to participate, I'm convinced that when people find out, wow, we actually have this many people doing it, that will really encourage them to do it as well. Okay, so please don't be shy. I want to invite you to participate and let us know. Another thing I want to bring up is that last year we started something called Fast, Pray, and Care. And so this is our effort to meet the needs among or around us in a very tangible way by fasting, praying for those in need, and by donating our money to meet those needs. And so last year, so far we have done twice. The first time we did was last winter. Roughly more than 20 people participated in that one, and we were able to raise more than $600 for a family in our church. And then the second time was the beginning of this year. Less than 10 people participated. We raised almost $300 for the earthquake relief in Japan. Even though we didn't have a whole lot of people participate this last time, but what really touched me was we had two young boys, aged 10 and 8. Okay, they made the effort to go to Morton House to drop off their lunch money because they wanted to help people who are in need. And so I really want to challenge you guys and encourage you. On the first Sunday in June, we're going to do this once again, and this time we will be raising money for the victims who were hit by the tornadoes and the flood. And so this will only take half an hour. Come join us as we pray for these people, try to do what we can to help them. I know that some of you should not fast, okay? Then don't fast. And I know that there are people who just wanted to donate their lunch money, even though they cannot fast. You're welcome to do that, okay? If you cannot stay and pray with us, that is fine. But do whatever you can. Get involved. Don't just sit around, all right? So I want to encourage you. Hopefully, as a church, we will all learn how to have compassion, that we will really care for the people who are in need that is out there. The last announcement that I want to make is how you can participate in our church decision-making. Because in the past, some of the feedback that we have heard is that we are not doing a very good job at communicating with you guys, especially when something is going on. And so some of you have told us that you were never informed of any decision happening, that you didn't have the opportunity to participate. And even if you gave your input, you felt like the church didn't really take your input seriously. And so here is an opportunity. I want to inform you that something is going on. So please don't say that we never told you. I want to invite you to participate. So don't ever say that, you know, you were never given the opportunity. And I promise you personally that if no one else, I do take your input very seriously. Okay, now I did wrestle with this one a little bit, okay, because this one actually has to do with me personally. But I felt, you know, it's better to start with me than starting with somebody else. All right, and so what is going on here is my term with the church is ending this year at the end of August. And so by then, I will have served this church for 4 complete years. And so right now, the church is going through a process of reviewing my performance and see whether they want to renew my contract or not. All right? And so as far as I know, this is how the process works. So first of all, ASAP, our Advisory Council of Elders and Pastors, they will be conducting a review with me. And so I was asked to submit my self-evaluation on May the 23rd to them. And then they would conduct this review with me on June 2nd. And then ASAP will make a recommendation based on this review to the JBED. And then the JBED will meet and vote most likely on June 11th. Huwei, our JBED chairperson, is there. So if I get anything wrong, let me know. Okay, so we're good, all right. And so now, how can you participate? There are 3 things you can do. First of all, I want to invite you to fill out an evaluation for me. Okay, I have prepared a very simple evaluation form. I only have 3 questions that I'm asking you, and I'm going to put them in the back of the sanctuary. So on your way out, you can just pick one up. It's already put inside an envelope. There is a pen inside of it, okay? So everything is ready. Don't say, hey, you know, I couldn't find my pen. So, and so this pen is actually from the past 2 years when we were encouraging people to read the Bible. So I hope that whenever you use it, you will be reminded, oh, I got to read my Bible too. All right? So once you're done, put it back in the envelope. Just seal it. Okay? You don't have to put your name on it, so I don't know who it is, because I want you to be as honest as you possibly can. Okay, and just put it back in the envelope, seal it, and you can give it back to me personally or put it back in my mailbox inside of the church office. Yes, keep the pen. Don't return the pen, okay? The pen is a gift to you. And so I'm going to put them in the back. And my mailbox in the church office, if you walk into our church office, on the right-hand side, you're going to see a whole bunch of mailbox. And mine is the top one on the middle column. Okay, so if you guys would do that, that would be really helpful to me. The reason being, a lot of times, my self-evaluation may not reflect the reality. I've noticed that in the past, sometimes I felt I was doing well, and then I would hear a response that tells me otherwise. Sometimes I would feel, boy, you know, I'm doing horrible, and then people would give me just great feedback. And so, you know, with your evaluation, that will help me to get a more realistic gauge on how I am really doing. And so I humbly ask that you would do this for me. And secondly, do give our elders and deacons your input. Tell them what you think, and I believe that they will benefit from your input as they conduct the evaluation and the voting. And then finally, please do pray for this process. I hope that as a church, in anything we do, we always seek to have God's will done in our midst. Well, let us pray before we look to the Word of God. Father, we continue to pray for this time of corporate worship. We are here because you are worthy. And because you are worthy, Lord, what happens in the church matters to us. I pray that we will participate in reading the Bible, because we want to know you better. I pray that we will participate in the upcoming fast, pray, and care because we want to do what we can to help those who are in need. And I pray that we will participate in any decision-making in the church to the extent that we are allowed because we do care about our church. So, Father, I pray that we would do these things as an expression of our worship to you. And at this moment, we ask that you will help us to focus on you as we continue our worship through the preaching and teaching of your word. Instruct us so that we will walk in all of your ways, and because you are worthy of our understanding and obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, on April 29th, a much anticipated event took place. And long before this event took place, media around the world was reporting about it. On the day of the actual event, millions of people around the world turned on their television to watch this event as it unfolded. And many people all over the world, they actually tried to be there for this historical moment. So what was this event that caused such great anticipation worldwide? What was this event that caught the attention of so many people around the world? Does anybody know? Yeah, it was the royal wedding of Prince William of England and Kate Middleton. Now, how many of you watch any part of their wedding ceremony? All right, yeah, a lot of us did. Me too. Now, here is a picture of the crowd that gathered in front of Buckingham Palace. All right, here is a close-up of the crowd. Here is another picture that shows how crowded the street that led to the palace was. Here is another close-up on the crowd on the street. According to the press, only 1,900 people were invited to attend the wedding ceremony. And as you can see from this picture, that those who attended, they dressed in their very best. Now, whether we agree with their sense of fashion or not, I think we would agree that no one showed up casually or improperly. And so out of their respect to the royal family, out of a sense of honor of being invited, the guests put on their very best to attend this royal wedding. So out of the 1,900 people, only 300 people were invited to the lunch banquet hosted by the Queen of England. And another 300 only were invited to attend the dinner banquet hosted by Prince Charles, the father of Prince William. Now, whether a person was invited to the wedding or to the wedding banquet, I think it must have been a great honor just to be invited at all. Now, imagine if you were invited. Would you have cleared everything on your schedule to go? I thought about it. You know, even if I'm out of my vacation days, I'm going to use my sick days. And would you have bought or rented the best clothes that you can find just so that you can show up looking your very best? Now, according to the media, this wedding cost somewhere between $16 million to $64 million. I guess, you know, the details were not disclosed to public, so people had to estimate. But can you imagine spending that kind of money just on your wedding? So as grand and extravagant was the royal wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton, did you know that there is another royal wedding coming that is even more grand and significant in magnitude? Now, according to the most reliable source that I know, just the people who are invited to attend the wedding itself will be over millions. And every single one, okay, not just 300 out of 1,900, every single one is invited to the wedding banquet. So who can afford such a wedding? Whose royal wedding is this? Did you guys know there is such a royal wedding coming up? Well, earlier we read from Revelation chapter 19. The Bible tells us that this is the wedding of the Lamb, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb who was slain, when he comes back for the second time, the Bible says it will be the royal wedding between the Lord and King Jesus Christ and his people, the church. Now, sadly, not too many people knows about this upcoming royal wedding. And even more shockingly, even the people who knew about it, a lot of them do not care to attend. And Jesus described for us this royal wedding in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. So if you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. So the book of Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. And this morning we will look at, first of all, the context of this passage. And then secondly, we will look at the parable in which Jesus described for us what this royal wedding is going to be like. And then finally, we will end with the point that God wants us to hear this morning. So first of all, let's begin with the context. Please look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. Here the Bible tells us Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, and so we must ask ourselves, who was Jesus speaking to? What does it mean when the Bible says that Jesus was speaking to them again? And so the context of any biblical passage is always what comes before and or what comes after it. And so in Matthew chapter 21, verse 28, all the way to 22 and verse 14, we actually find that Jesus told three parables to confront and condemn the Jewish religious establishment for their lack of understanding regarding his identity, and also for their hostility towards him. And so according to Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 and 45, Jesus was actually talking to the Jewish religious leaders, including the chief priests, the elders, and the Pharisees. Now, these were supposed to be the people who knew the Old Testament so well. They ought to be the very ones who were anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And they ought to be the ones who will be very thrilled if the Messiah actually shows up. They were supposed to be the ones who were eagerly waiting for the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that God has promised that he will come and save his people from their sins. And so our passage in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, will be the last of these three parables that Jesus spoke to the Jewish religious leaders. And so now let us look at this parable from Jesus, and we will begin with Matthew chapter 22, verse 2. And the Bible here tells us the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. So right off the bat, Jesus tells us what this parable or what this story is about. It is about the kingdom of heaven. Now, unfortunately, no one has ever been to heaven before. And so Jesus had to use something that we can all relate to from our real life in order to describe for us what this is like. And so Jesus tells us, well, what is the kingdom of heaven like? And Jesus tells us that it is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. So in other words, the kingdom of heaven is like a royal wedding. And like any royal wedding, it would have been a widely known event, highly anticipated by all, something that everyone would look forward to, just like what we did with the royal wedding of Prince William. But how is the kingdom of heaven like a royal wedding? Well, let us read on. The Bible tells us, as we continue in Matthew chapter 22, verse 3, the king sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. And so the time came for the royal banquet to take place. And so the king sent his messengers to remind his invited guests, hey guys, the banquet is about to start. So come, come and celebrate with us. Enjoy yourselves. Now imagine if you were one of those invited guests. You should have already been dressed up. Okay, you should be just waiting. You know, gosh, I wonder when is the king going to come and tell me, hey, let's go. Right? You should be ready. But something shocking happens here as Jesus continued to tell the story. But they refused to come. Now, what an unexpected response. Why would anyone turn down such an honor to be the king's distinguished guest? Now, we are going to find out soon, but before we find out, Jesus continued with the story, and he said that then the king sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. And so the king here did something unexpected too. He made another attempt to invite his guests. And in this attempt, he informs them, guys, I have spared no expenses for this occasion. I have prepared such a sumptuous feast for you. You will be sorry if you were to miss it. Okay, I invited all of the iron chefs in the nation. Okay, they have gathered the most exquisite and expensive ingredients. We have come up together with a menu that is just to die for. You know, come. Come and celebrate with us. And so it would be a foolish thing for anyone to turn down this event. I mean, even if you didn't like the king, just go for the food, right? But shockingly, though, the guests, they still refused to go. And Jesus described their responses for us this way. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field and another to his business. And so this is like being invited to Prince William's wedding. And then you choose not to go because you rather go to work. And if you think this is unbelievable and stupid, wait until you hear how other people respond. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. And so instead of counting it an honor to be invited at all, instead of making every effort to attend the wedding, these people show their utmost disrespect and hostility towards the king by insulting the king this way. The Bible tells us they suffer God's wrath. The king was enraged, and he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. You see, it's one thing to turn down the invitation, right? It's another thing to actually kill the messengers of the king. And so by their actions, they actually show how much they hated the king. And so now what will happen to the royal wedding? Because those who were invited initially all refused to come. And so let's continue to read on. Matthew chapter 22, verse 8 and 9. Then he, that would be the king, said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." And so since those who were invited refused to come, the king decided that he was going to open this to the general public. The king's servants were instructed to just find anyone they could on the street and just bring them in. But will these people come? Or will they turn down the king's invitation as well? Matthew chapter 22, verse 10. "So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." And so now, the wedding hall is filled with all kinds of people, good and bad. And then something very interesting happens. Look at verse 11. "But when the king came in and see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes." Now, can you imagine that someone who shows up on such an important event, not dressed properly? Okay, imagine the picture that I showed you earlier at the wedding, and there's this guy in his t-shirt and shorts and sandals. That would be very inappropriate. So what would happen to this person? Well, look at verse 12. "Friend," the king asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. Now, let me just pause for a moment here, because some of us may be thinking that, well, you know, the king, maybe he is asking too much, right? After all, these people were given a last-minute notice, right? They didn't have time to go home and shower and clean up and dress up or go and rent their tuxedo. I mean, you know, there was no time to do that, right? The king ought to be very grateful that they even showed up. Okay, my research shows me that there was actually an ancient custom where the king would actually provide wedding clothes for his guests. Okay, so this person really had no excuse not to be dressed properly. As a matter of fact, he actually refused and turned down the king's provision and insisted that he was just going to go like that. And so his action really betrayed his disrespect for the king. Okay, even though he showed up, he did not think of the wedding to be important enough for him to put on the proper dress. And so as a result, verse 13 tells us, "Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" And so instead of enjoying the wedding banquet, we are told that this guest was banished to a place of torment and sorrow. Now, before we go on to the conclusion, let us quickly summarize what Jesus has said so far in this story. Now, remember, this parable was about the kingdom of God. And so just like how people in the parable responded to the king's invitation to the royal wedding of his son, this parable illustrates for us how people respond to God's invitation to his kingdom, to the royal wedding before his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his church. In this parable, we see two major categories of responses. First of all, we have those who rejected the king's invitation. And then secondly, we have those who accepted the king's invitation. Under the first category, we have people who simply didn't care about the wedding at all because they were so preoccupied with their own agenda in life. They had no time for the king. And then we also have some who showed open hostility and rebellion against the king by killing the king's messengers. And now under the category of those who accepted the king's invitation, we are told that all of them, or most of them, were dressed properly. But there was that one person who refused to put on what the king has provided. And notice what Jesus has said here, though, that those who either didn't care and were too busy with their life, and those who openly were hostile and rebellious against the king, as well as that person who accepted but refused to put on the king's provision, all of them actually suffered the king's wrath. Whether they missed the royal wedding completely, whether they were wiped out by the king's army, or whether they were thrown out of the party, they all suffered the same fate. They were excluded from the royal wedding period. So only those who accepted the king's invitation and put on the king's provision got to stay and enjoy all of the king's bounty. And here, my friends, comes Jesus' point. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Many people were invited to the wedding banquet, but only those who put on the proper attire provided by the king got to enjoy the banquet. Now, in this parable, the king represents God, who has been inviting people into his kingdom throughout the history of mankind, repeatedly. Unfortunately, though, many people, they either simply didn't care because they were too busy pursuing their own agendas in life, or they were people who were simply too hostile and rebellious against God. They killed his prophets, mistreated the Christians who faithfully shared the gospel with them and invited them into God's kingdom. And still, there were those people who appear to have accepted the king's invitation, but this whole time they have never surrendered their life to God. Okay, they insisted on living their life their ways instead of obeying God and put on the righteousness that God has provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, look, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is how people respond to the invitation from God. Too busy. God, I don't like you. Or, okay, but I'm going to do it my way. And the Bible tells us from this parable that all these responses will only end in one result, and that is that they will be excluded from the kingdom of God. Only those who put on God's provision for us in Jesus Christ can enter the kingdom of God. Do you guys remember who was Jesus speaking to when he was telling this parable? Right, the Jewish religious leaders, right? And we know from the Bible that they were becoming more and more hostile towards Jesus Christ. They had already been plotting on how they can kill him. And so which group do you think represent the Jewish religious leaders? That's right, hostile and rebellious, right? And so you see, with this parable, Jesus tried to confront them and warn them. Now, if you were to continue to treat me like this, your outcome would be suffering God's eternal wrath. You will be excluded from the kingdom of God forever. And unfortunately, as we continue to read the Bible, that instead of repenting at this moment, they became even more hardened and more determined to kill Jesus Christ. And so, what does this parable have to do with us today? And this is how this parable applies to us. Which group represents you? Because every one of us falls under one of these four groups. God has been inviting you to his kingdom, and even this very moment right now, he wants you to be a part of his royal wedding between Jesus and his people. But how have you responded? Are you too busy for God? Have you been so preoccupied with your own agenda in life? Ooh, I got to earn more money. Ooh, I need to have more fun. Or ooh, whatever it is. You are so busy with your own stuff, you say, you know, this is not important to me and I'm just going to put it off. Or are you one of those who are openly hostile and rebellious against God? Maybe you make fun of Christians. Or you openly use God's name in vain in a very disrespectful manner. Or maybe you even shake your fist like this and say, God, if you're real, zap me to death. I challenge you. And of course, nothing happened. Then you go, ha, 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 I knew it. God's not there. And so you show God the utmost disrespect and rebellion by the way you talk about him. So have you rejected God's invitation to his kingdom with these reasons? Or perhaps you accepted God's invitation, but this whole time you have never submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. You love the part about just believe in Jesus, and then you can go to heaven, and then whenever you are in trouble, you can just cry out to God, and he will be there to save you, get you out of trouble. But you really don't care much about the part where the Bible says you ought to be holy, because God is holy. And so you come to church, you look like a Christian, but you refuse to get baptized because you say, well, this is just between me and God. Nobody needs to know. You refuse to do what the Bible says because you say, well, you know, God loves me anyway. So it doesn't matter how I live. I have believed in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. Now, don't deceive yourself, my friends. The Bible says if your faith has no action, if the fruit of your life does not reflect that faith, you're going to be like this person who gets thrown out of the party. Or are you the one represented by the last group, having accepted God's invitation, knowing that you don't deserve to be invited, and therefore, out of your gratefulness to God, you put on his provision for you. And you want to live the kind of life that God wants you to live because you know that God is worthy of our obedience. So will you suffer God's eternal wrath and be excluded from his kingdom forever? Or will you enter the kingdom of God and enjoy God forever? This morning, I want to invite you to confess your sins, ask God for forgiveness, and put on the righteousness that God has provided for us in Jesus Christ, and live the kind of life that God wants us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. God is inviting you. What is your response? Let us pray. Father, you have told us in the Bible that your word does not return empty. And so I pray that this morning you will convict those of us who are too preoccupied with our worldly pursuits and can care less about our relationship with you. I pray that you will convict those of us who have been hostile and rebellious against you. I pray that you will convict those of us who have only superficially accepted Jesus Christ but have never truly followed you. God, I pray that this morning you will bring us to true repentance so that we will not be excluded from your kingdom forever. Sanctify us, Lord, with your truth so that we will prepare for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ by putting on his righteousness provided by you, that we will look forward to being in your kingdom and enjoy your presence forever. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.